evening. Welcome to the Salaria Report. Today is November 14th, 2019. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm in Portland. I arrived tonight. We have an event for 45 subscribers tomorrow on Friday, November 15th. I'm looking forward to that. Then I'll head to Paul Levy's house to do a circle and then drive to Southern Oregon tomorrow night, where I'll be for the weekend, and then I head out to Carson City for a few days, and then back to the Texas Panhandle. Malvern, I'm going to be up in Malvern with a wonderful group. Many of you who were there last year are coming again this year. That's outside of Philadelphia on Friday, December 20th. I'll be up in Pennsylvania for the holidays, and of course, Lake Constance Opera Hang coming up in August 2020. Check out the website. You can link to it from the homepage after you log in. If you have any questions, just call customer support or send them to Ask Catherine. I'd love to help you understand that in more detail if you're interested. Wrap-ups. As I said last week, will the ESG turn the red button green? The write-up is at esg.salaria.com. Again, just log into Salaria, and then you can link over to esg.salaria.com or just put the URL in. We're working on the PDF. Then it will go to the printer. ESG stands for Environmental Socially Responsibility or Social Responsibility and Governance. It's extremely important to me that you understand this issue. There is within the ESG analysis a table on JP Morgan Chase. We made a list of the 69 settlements that we found between 2002 and 2018. Settlements for JP Morgan Chase for what I would describe as criminal or unethical activities. Total settlements of $42 billion. Their last year income in 2018 was $32 billion, which is quite a big number. Yet they're one of the top holdings in many of the ESG mutual funds and ETFs. ESG standards are being used in connection with both business operations and investment to use climate change as a way to implement technocracy. It's a very dirty business, as I describe at esg.salaria.com. I believe it's very important for us in our personal lives and business lives to get ahead of the technocracy tsunami. It's coming our way. You have to look it squarely in the face and deal with it proactively. First, you have to understand it. And I really think this piece can help you. Again, esg.salaria.com. Will ESG turn the red button green? Our theme tonight is home in America. As you all know, I love driving through the Big Skies country. On this trip, it starts when I hit western Oklahoma, and then I go into the Texas Panhandle, then up through the northeast corner of New Mexico into Colorado and up into the Rockies. When you're driving on a lonely interstate through the mountains of Colorado late on a cold night, there is no more beautiful sight than coming over the next top and around the curve and seeing a Pilot's or a Love's or a Flying J 24-hour truck stop. They have lighted gas pumps, clean bathrooms, and hot, dark roasted coffee. After you gas up and visit the bathrooms, you pour your coffee and head over to pay. And there at the register is a woman named Dolly who says, "Hey, where are you coming from?" And she sounds just like home. The warmth in her voice tells you you are home in the heartland of America. So you tell her you've come from Tennessee, where we sure appreciate people named Dolly. And then she says, "Honey, now you stay safe," or, "Darling, you stay warm." And you know she really does mean it. So this is the America I love. This is why I love heading out on the road in America. I keep finding places called home. Money and markets. I'm working off the Wednesday close. This is total returns, so that's capital gains and dividends. Total returns for the year to date. U.S. dollar now up 2.61%. Fixed income, TLT, is up 14.6. It's backed off a little bit. The intermediate treasury ETF up 8.2. The bond aggregate strong, up 7.82, so the corporates have improved despite the massive maturities we're facing next year. And junk flying at 12.29%. That's a number that says to me the central bankers are going to support us no matter what we do. Jeff Gumlach, the bond manager from Los Angeles, who I enjoy following his commentary, has dropped his chances of recession this year down to 40%, which I think is pretty interesting. So economy looking stronger. S&P now up 25.41%. Interestingly enough, Disney this week announced its new streaming service. Its stock was up 7% on the news. Meantime, the stock didn't fall on the fact that Project Veritas last week came out with their really amazing coup of ABC News, which is a Disney subsidiary, having kiboshed the Epstein story for 3 years. They got one of the top hosts on Hot Mic explaining the fact that ABC had suppressed the story. I had dinner long ago with a former personal assistant to the Disney CEO. They told me every night they would bring in the headlines and the Disney CEO would edit or delete them according to what they wanted on the news. So if Epstein was kiboshed by ABC, clearly it was Disney that did it. I mentioned that and sort of got focused on it because last Friday someone told me they were taking their child to Disney World, and it kind of hit me like getting dropped off of a seesaw. I don't know if that ever happened to you when you were a kid, but why in the world would anyone take a child to Disney World? Given, I decided I would retweet out all the stories of different pedophile rings or Disney executives being prosecuted for pedophilia. I think it's really time to seriously start asking ourselves why we continue to be in a trance about where we bank or what we expose our children to, because we are watching an unprecedented corruption when it comes to care of our children. I keep bringing up the fact that Dr. Perot the other week on the Salieri Report said 54% of the children in America have some form of chronic disease. I think we need to really get serious about child safety. And if there's a network that's protecting pedophiles, if there's lots of anecdotal information to suggest that this is going on, and now they're suppressing the Epstein story, if ABC suppressed the Epstein story, for sure it was Disney. I think we really need to come out of the trance and say, why would you take a child to Disney World? Why would you expose them to Disney engineered content? CBS fired an ex-ABC News producer that they had just hired, the idea being she was responsible for the leak. It turned out she was innocent. Now both ABC and CBS look like total fools. If I had to guess, my guess is that it was probably one of the pros, one of the Alphabet agencies that might have done it. It could relate to the streaming competition, who knows, but it certainly didn't affect their stock. Their stock was flying. You can suppress pedophilia stories all day long and your stock flies. Not a good sign. It's back to the win-lose relationship between the Dow Jones Index and the Popsicle Index. Home builders flying up almost 42%. VGK, the European ETF, up 18.91%. So again, that compares to the S&P up 25%. U.S. still outcompeting Europe in the developed markets. Germany up 17%, developed markets minus North America up 18.32%. Large cap China up 6.36%. Small caps up 8.78%. And the emerging markets up 10.31%. Commodities up 6.19%. That's way down from the beginning of the year, so it shows you the slowing. Gold backed off a little bit. It's up 13.8%, and silver up 9.02%, which I think is a perfectly respectable performance for the year. I continue to believe precious metals is going to have a good year. Oil now up 33.19%. Our top stories. Saker said in his interview that he thought the number one issue in the 2020 election was the rule of law. Were we going to be a country of laws or not? I think that was a very astute comment on his part. And what you can see as you look around the world is violence is steadily encroaching, and it's encroaching in ways and places it hasn't been before. And it's a clear sign that people can't settle their differences or accomplish their goals without violence. And it's not a good sign. It's the sign of a world dealing with more people, you know, more pressure on resources and with a level of secrecy in the governance process and a model that needs changing. And so too many people and things are out of alignment. The competition is getting serious. We see Venice flooded. Venice is a city that clearly has a serious problem with sinking and being exposed to the sea. And they've been working on an infrastructure program to try and further protect the city, which hopefully will be done by 2021. If I had to guess, I wouldn't think this was natural. It was attributed by the mayor to climate change. I would suspect that it may have something to do with covert warfare. If that's the case, that's a pretty sensitive issue. If you look at the remaining nobility in Venice, it's pretty significant. If you look at the artwork, the churches, and many historical sites of significance, it's a very, very significant city, and it's been a very significant city in the governance of the Western world. And so if this is covert warfare, it's a bad sign of things to come. In Hong Kong, we're seeing protesters announcing that they will not commit suicide. We've had reports of over 100 protesters supposedly committing suicide, and it looks like they are being suicided. That's the implication of the protesters who are announcing they're not going to suicide themselves. There is no doubt that the Hong Kong protests have entered a new and very ugly phase. We saw several protesters killed last week. Hong Kong is very much at the center of the global currency wars. The Hong Kong has been a dollar stronghold for a long, long time. If the Chinese succeed in converting it, not just to a major port for the Silk Road, but for China's South China Sea control, and instead of it being part of the dollar peg, it's a place that really helps the Chinese currency build global liquidity, then, you know, it's a major switch of a very important city. And so, you know, Hong Kong, there's no doubt Hong Kong is at war, and part of it is the young people do not want to live in a totalitarian society, and they're used to a very different culture and different society. And there's no doubt that China has reneged on its one country, two systems promise for the 50 years. So keep the people of Hong Kong in your prayers. We see fires in Australia, strangely contiguous to the plans for the high-speed rail to go down the coast, the eastern coast of Australia. It wouldn't surprise me in both the United States and Australia that the push to keep up with the Chinese on the high-speed rail is serious enough to get to this kind of cutting through the red tape. Arson has, for many centuries, been a common tactic of re-engineering. So this is nothing new, but there's no doubt that satellites and a variety of other technology could take the technology to a whole new level. Now, many people continue to believe that some or all of these fires are natural, so I can't prove that they're not, but I think there is very significant arson underway. Clearly, if you look at the fire pattern compared to the high-speed rail in Australia, it's mighty suspicious looking. In Mexico, we saw a Mormon family, a group of women and children, attacked. There is a great deal of speculation of what it was about, whether it was the local drug cartels, whether it was competition with local farmers having a lot to do with the water. There's another possibility, and that it was a U.S. operation. Is the U.S. looking for an excuse to move further down past the border to protect the border? The other question is the families apparently had some tie to the Romney family. The reality is Romney's been a real troublemaker in terms of the Republicans can't afford to have someone like Romney pulling the rug out from under them in the middle of the impeachment process. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody was sending him a message. If it is, it's a tough one, but there's clearly a very important story there, and whatever the story is, it's a very violent one and doesn't augur well for what's going to happen next in that area. Probably the hardest one to watch this week was in the Netherlands. A local Hague politician, a Dutch woman, committed suicide. She had been gang raped by Muslim gangs in retaliation for her efforts to stem immigration at the local council meetings in 2017. Since then, she's been harassed and threatened, and the most recent threat was when she was apparently on the street with a child, and she was afraid they were going to harm her children or her guests. She felt as a matter of conscience she could not back off politically, so she made a videotape, posted it. It's posted up on my Twitter feed if you want to see it. I sent it into the blog for posting. And after she made the videotape, shortly thereafter, she committed suicide. Now, if you're not familiar with Operation Gladio, I would get familiar. It's important to understand that gangs like this are financed and protected from the top. These are terror networks, and they're being used to divide and conquer. They're being weaponized to help control in a variety of ways. The Dutch are one of the most effective groups of people in the world. If the Dutch police were free to shut this down, they certainly know how to do it. Check out Daniel Gonzer's book on, or speeches on, Operation Gladio. I've posted several on Celeri, but you can pick them up on a search. This could include NATO trying to make sure the euro stays weak, or it could be German intelligence asserting German supremacy. It was Merkel who engineered many of these groups into both Southern and Northern Europe. But there's clearly something going on, and this videotape, my prediction, is going to get a lot of attention, and so it's going to be interesting to see how the European leadership deals with this. All of this brings up the question, if a government is not sovereign, if it does not maintain a monopoly on the use of force within its jurisdiction, then what is its taxing power and what is the value of its sovereign credit? I have been talking with Dr. Farrell for many years now about the fact that we've been tearing up the Treaty of Westphalia, which established the concept that a sovereign government should have a monopoly on force within its place. And Dr. Farrell and I keep talking about the fact that we're tearing it up and what a major development this is. And now with this kind of increased violence, it's coming to a fore. So if you look at Mexican sovereign bonds, if you look at Hong Kong bonds, if you look at Netherlands bonds, this raises very serious questions. What are they worth if the government doesn't maintain law and order within its jurisdiction? We seem to think that central banks printing money can solve the problem. It was announced this week the Swiss National Bank now owns almost $100 billion of U.S. stocks. If anything, that's proof that the central banks think are certainly printing their way out of just about everything at this point. But it could certainly help contribute and explain the outperformance of the U.S. stock market. U.S. impeachment is quite a drama. Unfortunately, of course, we saw the hearings go public. Unfortunately, it's likely to go through the end of the year. McConnell has said that, you know, process means you have to have a trial. So, you know, it was clear all along that Pelosi knew that this was a dangerous strategy because basically the message is we're all fighting over politics and nobody's getting your work done. And there's very important work that is not getting done. Trump had started to run up significantly in the polls post the failure of Mueller, and the failure of the Russian canard and the fact that it was clearly a canard was building serious momentum behind Trump really consolidating his position. Now, what do I think the impeachment is about? I've gotten several questions about this. I think the big Democratic donors have figured that this is the only way they can stop Trump. And if they don't get him stopped now, they're going to have a real problem. They have two problems. One was stopping him from sort of getting the bit in his teeth and running up in the polls, given especially how strong the economy has been relative to how it was before he took office. The problem is there's nobody on the Democratic side the big Democratic donors want. Sanders is clearly not acceptable. Warren is now not acceptable, but it also, even though Sanders might be able to win, Warren probably can't. Biden was their hope at some sort of sensible, moderate selection. He's fading for a variety of reasons, and he was about to get into serious trouble on Ukraine and Hunter and his son Hunter's sort of family business. So Biden's not going to make it. The big donors don't care about governance. So they seem to be in scorched earth mood. They're willing to you know, destroy the entire political process and brand credibility to make sure they win. It's sort of a winner-take-all situation. So now we see them ready to field Michael Bloomberg and Clinton. I'm not sure if Clinton's really going to announce. There's more and more indication she's serious about announcing in January. I think the Democrats have lost major money on her twice already, and it's inconceivable that they put real money behind her again. But I think they want to get all the women who supported her and sort of play the women's card and get that engaged. And it helps with the divide and conquer. Bloomberg is a serious guy. It's hard to imagine him making it to the presidency, particularly if you look at his age. But, you know, I'm not quite sure what they're up to. But you would think if they were willing to go to the lengths that they're going now, you know, that they would have taken the time to start to breed up and field some real candidates years ago. Anyway, they were too busy playing the Russian canard. The big concern I have is this is a major distraction. What is going on behind the scenes? Is the U.S. government being asset stripped? That's my big concern. The other candidate that could win is Tulsi Gabbard, but there's no way the big Democratic donors are going to support her. You know, she's not supportive of the war machine, and that's what they are. Their business is war. Amazon is going to protest the Jedi contract, and their argument is political influence. Many had expected Amazon to win the contract, given it's the only company currently able to encrypt data to the top secret level the Pentagon requires. So basically, if Microsoft wins, it's going to, you know, they're going to be required to learn how to encrypt data to the top secret level. Trump, I tweeted out this afternoon, Trump needs to delay signing the award till after the protests and after the impeachment circus. If Microsoft locks up a signed contract before the circus is over, Trump give Gates a free headshot at him, and it wouldn't surprise me if Gates took it. I'd love to know the politics of the deals made with Gates over that contract vis-a-vis the impeachment. There's a backstory there that's very important, but you sign that up with Gates before the circus is over, and Gates would then have a free headshot at Trump, so let's see how Trump plays that. Since I've arrived back in the country, the Solari team has experienced immediate and significant increase in hacking. AT&T blocked when I started to hit the Epstein aspect of Disney. AT&T blocked us for 3 days. Last time it took us 15 months to get the block lifted. This time it took 3 days, but it's pretty time consuming when these things happen. We still have 27 subscribers who have an AT&T domain. If you're using AT&T, you know, please switch. It doesn't make sense to rely on somebody who would block content you want without warning you or telling you. I mean, it's very, very disconcerting. Anyway, my phones in Hickory Valley have been experiencing constant fuzz. Then my Verizon cell phone, I've been trying to listen to Deep State Tactics while I was on the road and through my phone, and it's blocking me as restricted. It's unbelievable. And we had another member of our team test who has a Verizon phone, and they're not blocked. It's just me. I'm blocked from listening to my own website. Anyway, I also had a member of a local gang knocking on my window after dark on Sunday right before I left, and part of my electrical system, one of my electrical boxes, was pulled off the house. Now, what's the goal? I think it's so important. You know, distraction is very big right now. Get everyone so concerned about their personal safety, you distract them. Part of it is trying to get a race war aspect going. There's no doubt that's happening in Europe and the United States. Remember, you know, the local gang members do what they're told. They never bother someone like me unless they get specific instructions to do so, or very, very rarely. And remember, FASB 56 is an open checkbook for secret money for secret armies down all the way to the community level. They can finance these kinds of harassments in every community in the U.S. and the NATO area. So this is a dead giveaway, whatever's going on, that the system lacks confidence in their lies about the missing money. So whatever we're doing, I think it's working. But whether it's impeachment or low-grade harassment, don't get distracted. Don't let this distraction stop you from understanding what's really going on or finding the good people and building trust with them. That's what we got to do. We got to build networks of trust and not let this divide and conquer us. If you haven't been trained to deal with violence in many places, we are going to have to start to get more effective at dealing with it. Every sign is that it's rising. So if you don't know your local sheriff, get to know your local sheriff. Get to know your neighborhood watch. Get networking with the good people in your neighborhood. We have a Solera report with Sheriff Mack on Who's Your Sheriff. I'll post a link to that and subscriber links. You may want to listen. The 2020 presidential campaign, for those of you who live in the United States, is a great time to talk to your neighbors about the issues. That's the time we all talk about the sort of governance issues and political issues. We've been having great results by different subscribers talking to their local or congressional representatives, some very interesting dialogue back and forth. The new news is Dr. Skidmore's daughter, upon listening to Dr. Skidmore tell her more updates about the various shenanigans of the responses from DOD about the missing money, decided to write a song, which we've put into a little video. It's called the 21 Trillion Missing Money Song. And if you go to the homepage for missingmoney.solera.com or solera.com, we have it up with our My 21 2020 campaign. We're doing a new poster every week on the missing money. And there's a section on the homepage where you can see the video and click and look at all the posters. And I hope you'll take advantage of them because it's a great way to help people understand this is an issue that touches everybody. It's $65,000 per person in America. Tell me that $65,000 per person couldn't solve a lot of problems. There are efforts in Washington to disperse the civil service into the heartland. In terms of good management and good governance, it makes tremendous sense to do it. Unfortunately, it may also be part of the effort to privatize and downsize that we've been talking about for 2 years now in the Solera report. There's a new Google healthcare data scandal. There's a new Google data scandal, it seems like, every week. Why does anybody here use Gmail? That's another one. If you use Google, I don't know why you would let that into your life, but please really consider getting away from Gmail and getting away from Google. If you can't afford to access healthcare outside the United States where they will not keep digital records, it's worth considering. Be very careful about what you allow to be digitized. Just think very carefully about that. Needless to say, it's unbelievably important, the integrity of your doctors. I was researching lending rates this last week, and I wanted to check you've got a group of fintech websites that now do loans, person-to-person loans. So I wanted to see what their rates were offering and what sort of the arbitrage was vis-a-vis the credit card companies. So I went in and they required me putting in my personal data. So I started to do it. And then they wanted a social security number. I said, it's one thing to research. It's another thing to give your social security number to strangers. So I backed out. Within 5 minutes, I had two phone calls from different lending groups. Very aggressive, very offensive. So it's just another reminder between the Google scandal and what fintech does. There's zero privacy. So please remember that. Our hero this week is Pastor David and Summer Norris, his wife. Summer, they are part of a congregation that's helping their congregation get out of debt. They're working with a group that works with churches to do so. And I think it's a great idea for congregations to work to help get their members out of debt. It's one where group momentum is a real force multiplier. So you can check out the story on the commentary on the website. Our blast from the past is The Finders, a wonderful movie made by a Solera Report subscriber. It's on the Finders Pedophilia Network. And I think it is important to remember that the big Democratic donors pushing the impeachment are the same people pushing transgender, transhumanism. I think a lot of them would love to make pedophilia legal. God knows, if you look at sort of what they're doing in terms of occult practices and behavior, I think there's a lot of occult funny business. We're talking about a seriously perverted group of people. and it's hard for many people to fathom how perverted they are. But the Finders movie really helps you start to understand in a very chilling way what we're dealing with. Let's go to the movies. I'm recommending a documentary called The Cleaners. It is made by two German filmmakers, and it was recommended to me, and it was one of the hardest movies I ever had to find. You have to stream it on Hulu. Needless to say, it didn't get a lot of distribution. It's fascinating. It's about groups of people in the Philippines who work for contractors hired by social media to watch and delete offensive and violent postings. And it's the dark underbelly of the internet, and it's fascinating. It's a tough documentary to watch, but when you see the level of violence and sort of psychic garbage that has to be cleaned off of social media, what you realize is this is a really tough job. And you've got a group of pretty remarkable people in the Philippines who are very quietly and under very difficult circumstances providing a pretty noble function. Talk about another group of people worthy of your prayers. Our interview this week is with a marvelous scholar, Amy Benjamin, who joined us last year for a wonderful interview on secrecy. She has a new article coming out in January, published in a very serious academic journal on what I call sneaky treaties, the effort to enter into treaties that aren't approved domestically by the legislature and then somehow seem to lever their way into the force of law. This is a very important part of our discussion about FASB 56, or the refusal of, or sort of the sort of executive branch entering into engaging in wars without Congress. And you have to ask yourself, if Congress does not approve the treaties or control the purse or wage wars, exactly what is it that Congress does? Apparently, Congress just sits around and fights about who's going to be president. There has been a real abrogation of their responsibilities, Congress. And the international treaties aspect is one of the very important sort of legs that Congress is abrogating. It's one that's very hard to understand. And Amy has done an obviously very brilliant, capable attorney, has done a noble job of sort of digging in and figuring out how the game works and what they're up to. Anyway, her article is a remarkable piece. We'll post it when it comes out in January. But Amy walks us through it. And I think this is a story that's very important to understand. But if it hadn't been for Amy making it accessible, it would be very hard to understand. And she has some recommendations for what we can do. So, sneaky treaties. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. What exactly is this impeachment inquiry happening? Seems that Biden is at risk. The transcript shows no wrongdoing, no firsthand testimony. Is it to boost Hillary into campaign orbit or cover to keep Dems out of prison? Seems that Trump is not playing his hand smart. Seems to me that this is the Democrats' third strike after Mueller and the dossier. Travel well, my friend. Okay, I think I covered that, but I think this is the big Democratic donors trying to knock Trump out of the box. In terms of Trump not playing this hand smart, it's hard to imagine the brutality of what Trump has faced since he walked into Washington. You know, his style makes it, he makes it much harder on himself that he has to, but if you look at what he stood up to, it's quite remarkable. Hi, Catherine. I recently have been discussing with a Brit and a Canadian about Trump's border wall. I'm under the impression that it's less about illegal immigration, more about controlling the narcotics trade. They're convinced it's about controlling illegal immigration. What would you say that the main purpose for building the wall are? In my opinion, it's multiple purposes. It's about control of the border and what crosses the border and how it crosses and who gets the equity. So it includes both immigration and narcotics trade. A member of our team, when we got this question, checked with the Retired Border Patrol Association run by Zach Taylor. You can hear his interview in the Salary Report. And our feedback was positive that Trump has done a lot to stem the flood. At the same time, it's important to understand the flood continues. I think the estimate is legal and illegal immigration from the South will be about 3 million this year. That's still a flood. Hi, Catherine. Hope you're well. Just in case you've not seen this clip about wireless radiation, I figured I'd send along. Thank you very much. Next week is on as Jason Bowden-Smith on ESG, and I hope you will listen. It's a very good update. Happy Sunday. Just listening to November 7th Money and Market, which I enjoyed immensely. It occurred to me that on your trip to Portland, you might be driving by, and then you made a suggestion about doing that. Unfortunately, I was not going that route. I went a more southern route across 40 into the Texas Panhandle, but I would have loved to have stopped by if I'd gone that route. So I love stopping and breaking bread if I can with subscribers. So thanks for sending that. Hi, Catherine. I research the meat supply all the time and only purchase local meat from a rancher I trust. These are sources that are invaluable that I'm suggesting and sharing. Yes, we need to be our own doctor. Witnessing my own landscape of people I meet, including personal friends, if I took a poll, rarely is there not someone on pharmaceuticals or under treatment for cancer, diabetes, autoimmune issues, or other ailments. Then I pick up dementia, sadly. Heartbreaking are the children who I see eating all the junk food and premature obesity. I know their lives are shorter. The system is overwhelmed. And then she sent some great links. Cornucopia, great source. Eat Wild, great source. Weston Price, great source. And American Grass-Fed Association, great source. Thank you so much for those links. There's a lot of great resources out there if you want to get serious about food. Okay, that's it for this evening. Next week, as I said, Jason Bowden-Smith on 5G. Great information from what I believe to be the most trustworthy source. Then we have coming up Deep State Tactics 101. We're doing politics. Thomas Meyer interview from Chart. And then the state of our currencies, the theme for the second quarter wrap-up. So ladies and gentlemen, until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck. Thank you.